Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, February 20th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. The message is entitled, The Value of Community. Our text comes to us from Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And now, Pastor Zoni.
We praise the Lord for His many blessings, and He's a wonderful Lord to serve. He's a wonderful Lord to commit yourself to serve. So, you know, I'm enjoying the fact that we can all enjoy the presence of each other. And I guess a word to the wise is that you need to be in church as much as you can. There's nothing like being in church. It's where the gifts of the Spirit operate. It's where God does things that He does not do when you're all by yourself. God commands us to come together. To gather together where He sends His word. We'll talk about the word in a minute, but the important thing is to know that we gather together, and when we gather together, God's presence is there. Did you know that God shows up? He has shown up this morning here to bless you and to touch you and to strengthen you. You need to make an effort to come here so that God's presence will manifest Himself in your life. And will address those issues that only He can address. And you know that only He can take care of certain things in your life. When you come to God's house versus not coming to God's house, you will experience God's power. God's power is here to save and to heal and to... He's here. And God's power manifests Himself when you and I show up in church. He's already been here waiting for us. And then we come to church because of each other. Because of people. People are a wonderful, wonderful commodity. And you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to go to church because, you know, if I go to church, I'm going to see so-and-so. Well, you're going to see us in heaven, so might as well get used to it now. And just understand that none of us are perfect, but people need one another. And people, when you come to church, you come as a vessel to be filled by God's Holy Spirit. And you come so that you can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And you are part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ cannot operate by itself. We need one another. And you cannot tell the eye, I don't need you, or the lips, I don't need you. I mean, we're all together. And we all contribute to the well-being and the health of the body of Christ. So, yeah, we need you to come. But guess what? You need to come yourself. Not only do you need to come because you will contribute to the well-being of the church, but we will also contribute to your well-being as well. So it all works together. It just works together that when the body of Christ is together, comes together, God operates spiritually. He does things that He does not do while you're sitting at home and worshiping the Lord in your pajamas. I say that with the utmost reverence. And I thank you for being tuned in, and I thank you for listening. But this can never be a substitute for coming to God's house. Now, again, there are some people who have physical reasons why they cannot make it to church. We totally understand that. And to tell you the truth, that's why we're doing it, because there's some that cannot make it. But those of you who can, and there's a lot of you who can, you need to start coming back to church. This is where God works. This is where things really happen. And it's a good discipline to come to God's house and to meet one another and to see how God will bless and strengthen you. So Paul was admonishing, you know, the Christians of the first century, don't forsake the assembling, you know, of the brethren as some people's customs are. So even way back over there, people were finding the easy route of not doing or putting an input into your faith with the Lord. But let me just say, there were people of the kingdom. We're not of this world. And when you love the world more than you love the Lord, you put yourself as a disadvantage. And that disadvantage is that then you're being ruled by values that are not covered in Scripture. All of a sudden, you walk and you live like people in the world that don't know the Lord. You actually become, you know, what we normally understand as being, you know, baby Christians, you know. There's another word for it. I'll say it. Carnal Christians. Carnal Christians in the sense that you're saved because you have come to Christ, but you don't act like it. You don't live like it. Your priorities have not been have been not directed by the Lord so that you can be an effective member in the body of Christ. God needs you. God has given you gifts that can be played out in the assembly of the brethren. And those gifts need to be deployed. And as you come to church, God will bless you and will touch you. Who knows what God will do in your life when you are obedient to him and you show up and say, Lord, what will you do? And that's why we'll be reading scriptures today where it says that when you come to church, we have an opportunity for the Lord to express himself through us. And I'm one of those who believes that none of us really individually own any gifts of the Spirit, but the Spirit of God moves accordingly. And today the Lord may give you a word. Tomorrow the Lord may give you discerning. And next Sunday the Lord may use you in the ministry of healing. I mean, there's so many different ways in which God works through his people. We're people of the kingdom of God, the power of God's kingdom. But nothing happens unless we don't come and assemble the assembly where God's people come together. Oh, what a concept. God's people, not the people of the world, but God's people. And we think differently. We speak differently. We act differently. We live differently. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. If you think it's a bad thing, take a look at how people in the world are living today and how their lives are a wreck and how their lives continue to go from problem to problem without finding answers to lifelong, you know, questions and answers that need to come no other way except through the Lord. So we go to psychologists and we go to help books and we go through therapies and, you know, we hear this one and we hear the other. When you can come to God's house and hear the word of the Lord that sets you free. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And the Lord doesn't kid around with you or with me. So when we come together, God speaks to us. When we come together, you'll see what happens. When we come together, God is active and he expresses himself. He manifests himself in your life and in my life. And we're a blessing to somebody else. And that's the body of Christ. So today's scripture is Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. And we're going to look at two of three areas of concern this Sunday morning. And this passage gives us or speaks to us about the peace of Christ. It speaks to us about the word of Christ. And it speaks to me about the name of Christ. And so let's look at that scripture right now. Colossians 3, 15, and all the way through 17. Look at that. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, this is the body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Verse 17, and whatever you do, whatever, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God bless the reading of his word. Eh? Amen. Word of the Lord. Well, the first thing I like to address is the importance of understanding how we are to conduct ourselves. And there's an element here that speaks about the peace of Christ. You know, this is a wonderful reminder that all of us have peace with God. Peace with God means that your sins have been forgiven. It means that you've given your heart to the Lord and your sins have been forgiven and God is no longer your enemy and you're no longer an enemy of God. To be more precisely, you're no longer an enemy of God because God loves you and God has done everything he can to bring to you a word of reconciliation of saying, let's have peace among us. The Lord says, I am not blaming you for your sins. I blame my son for your sins and he died on the cross. So when you and I come to Christ, we have the peace of God because God is not after us. He's not trying to get us to do some sort of penitentiary work because of our sins. No, Jesus died on the cross. He took our sin. He took our guilt. But here He speaks about the peace of Christ being in our lives and being in our everyday moment. It's even more than that. Literally, it says, let the peace of Christ be the empire in your heart. Let the peace of Christ be the desire on the decider of all the things within your heart. Let there be that accommodation of the heart that instead of living in fear, we bring in the peace of God in our lives. The peace of Christ. I cannot imagine why you and I should worry more than what we're worrying now, especially when we have the Lord in our hearts. There's something about the peace of Christ that should give you and me what we would call a balanced approach to every issue. When we see the problem and we see the difficulty, we also must remember that Christ is there to provide us peace. And peace is the absence of war, of hostilities. That you are not to be fighting over those issues, but you are to be accepting the rule of Christ in your life. He is the one that settles the issues. Remember some time ago we spoke regarding John chapter 20 and Jesus, the risen Savior. The disciples were all by themselves in a little room, all huddling, because they were afraid that after the resurrection they were going to come and they were going to get them who crucified Christ and were going to be persecuted as well. And there was this fear unknown to them that Jesus had risen from the dead. Nevertheless, they were afraid. And so as they were afraid and they were shattering, they had no peace. Jesus shows up inside a room that was supposed to be, you know, foolproof for nobody to come in because they were hiding from the hostilities. But see, when Christ comes into that closet, comes into that area of your life where there's fear, the Lord comes and readdresses the issue and comes and rearranges the room and rearranges all the furniture in your life and says, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And he fixes things around so that there can be peace. And the first words of the risen Christ to the emerging church was, peace be with you. There is a peace that you and I need to capitalize on. There's a peace that you and I need to incorporate into our daily walk, that he is with us, he does not leave us, does not forsake us, and that he's got it under control. The peace of God in your heart. Let the peace of Christ, says, let it rule. Let it be the empire. Let it be the decider over those issues that conflict you and bring pain to you and misery to you, and they exist there. Let the Lord's peace dwell in your heart in such a way that you know, you say, you know, I may be going through this, but the Lord will give me peace in the midst of the storm. And he does. And he does. So believers, you and I, when we come together and we serve the Lord and we work for his glory and we go from day in and day out, we have to remember the peace of Christ should be ruling our hearts. If there's anything that is perturbing you, if there's anything that is throwing you off balance, let the peace of Christ take care of it. Let the Lord work in your life. Let the Lord work in those areas that are dark and those areas that you're not able to handle. And then rest that he will take care of things. And that is what brings peace to your heart and to my heart. See, the war between the believer and God is forever gone. God is not after you. God is for you. Who can be against you? Well, let me just tell you the things that come against you. But none of them have the power to put you away, have the power to destroy you. On the contrary, the peace of God should give you the ability to go through life with a certainty that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Literally, literally. But there's something else. There's something else this passage tells us as we come together, as we worship God, and as we move forward. Speaks about something very important. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in your heart. That there's something about the word of God dwelling in your heart. And you may not believe this, but we've been speaking about the fullness of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. But there's nothing like, there's no substitute for the Word of God, which in reality, in many ways, is an equivalent to the being filled with the Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Word of God, you're filled with the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is the one that speaks to you and strengthens us through the Word. Through the Word. There's just no other way that God speaks to you and through me that can be legitimate. That is to say, that you can say, that's God speaking. And that's the Word of God. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by His Word. Where we have the Word of God richly dwelling in us. I mean, what informs you? What informs your life? That's a very powerful question. What informs your life? What causes you to make decisions in your life? What triggers your actions? Why do you do what you do? Is it your own speculation? Is it your own, brain power, whatever that is? What instructs you? What informs you? It should be the Word of God. And my words are spirit and they're truth, said Jesus. Jesus is the incarnate Word, the Word made flesh. It is the Lord Jesus speaking to you. Yes, His Word. So the more you have of His Word in your heart and in your mind, the more that you will be able to understand what it means to walk in the Spirit and to walk by faith and not by sight. It is going to God's Word and reading God's Word and being formed by God's Word. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by His Word. And to be filled with His Word is to be filled with the Spirit. So I understand we're not dealing or talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about the dwelling of the Spirit that operates in our lives in ways we should capitalize by simply doing one diligence, and that is to be in the Word of God. Let me read you Ephesians chapter 5, which is right around the corner from where we were. A couple of books back, we can find it. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, we come across some remarkable, remarkable passages and truths. It says, be very careful then how you live. Here, this is for you and for me as Christians in this time, in 2022. In the midst of all the stuff that is around us, with all the issues that we're facing. I mean, is there a war going on right now in any part of the world? Is something going to blow up tomorrow? I mean, what's going on around the streets and our house and our homes? There's so many things. It says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, which means that you and I, as Christians, we have the ability to live in an unwise way. We can be Christians and be foolish. We can be Christians and not be wise, smart. It goes on to say, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The days are evil. We're living in bad times. We got to be smart. We have to get into the Word. We have to be filled with the Spirit. We have to be guided by the Spirit of God in our lives. The decision maker in our lives should be God's Word in our hearts. It goes on. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do you see the heaviness of responsibility that God places upon you and me as His children? You know, sometimes I, in a very vaguely way, I thought that once I became a Christian, my whole life would be decided for me, and I could just relax in a cloud and just give me a harp. But all of a sudden, I find out that God does not work that way. He makes me responsible for a lot of things. And the important one, he says, don't be fooled, but be wise, which means I can be a fool and I can be unwise. How many know, well, let's not raise our hands. How many know that sometimes you're being foolish? Of course. But see, it's an ability of getting to know God and working with God that causes us to be His children in light and causes us to be witnesses of His glory. Look, it goes on. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So you got to know what God's doing in your life and what God wants of you. This is your responsibility. You need to find that out. How are you going to find that out? by not coming to church is beyond my understanding, because God commands us to come to church. You know, if you're a Christian, if you've come, you've said, Lord, come into my life, and you're saved, the second thing that you need to do is get baptized in water. And if you're trying to avoid the baptism in water, it's not going to go away. If you say to me, well, but baptism in water doesn't save me because I'm saved by the blood, that's absolutely true, 100%. We have nothing to do with your salvation. It has everything to do with your discipleship. Following the Lord. Following the Lord. Following the Lord. Following the Lord. You need to know God's will in your life. Then after that, you need to seek the fullness of the Spirit in your life. You must somehow, some way, get on your knees and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Just as the Spirit of God came into your life and showed you Jesus and you were baptized into the body of Christ, and then we as the church baptize you in water so that you would show to the world a testimony of victory, dead to the world and alive unto God. Now Jesus takes you and baptizes you in the Holy Spirit and gives you the potential for all kinds of wonderful things that the body of Christ desperately needs. It makes you a vessel that he can fill. And it's an amazing experience in God's presence to be filled with his Spirit, which, yes, being filled with his word. But let me move on. He goes on to say, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Don't go out there and get drunk. That doesn't lead you anywhere. He says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let's say it together. Be filled with the Spirit. Some of you haven't said that. Let me just tell you, you got to be filled with the Spirit. The world offers you exhilarating experiences, demonstrated here or showed here or qualified here with the drinking and having a party and having a blast and enjoying and being high and this and that. So all of that leads to nothing but to pain and misery. So the alternative for the Christian is not to go and appreciate the values of the world and go there to be satisfied, but you and I are to be filled with the Spirit that brings the energy and the power and the move of God in your life. And you become useful vessels for the glory, and God speaks to you, and there's an intimacy that you and I cannot match anywhere. Can I hear an amen? Because, and then he goes on to say, and this is why church is important, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. That's the word of the Lord to you and to me. It's the passage we're looking in Colossians 3:15 through 17. It is the same passage because it's speaking to us that we need to have an attitude and a core set of values that our lives are moved along, that we live by that. So when we come and hear the word of the Lord, because it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you, what does the word of God dwelling in you do? It doesn't just sit there. It does two things. First, it informs you, as we said, what informs your life? It gives you information. Absolutely, absolutely it does. But not only does it give you information, brothers and sisters, the way in which this information comes is by, first of all, telling you things you don't know. Remember, the Spirit of God will show you things to come. He will speak to you. It will give you insights into life that you never had before. You will know that God is working in your life. And the second thing is, it will correct you. Have you ever been corrected by the Lord? Oh, good grief. Nothing like pastoring a church that needs no correction from the Lord. Whew, that's the toughest church I think I will ever want to be in. Because we're all being corrected by the Lord. But it's not a correction of condemnation. It is a correction of love that shows you what you should be doing and not just what you should not be doing. Because sometimes, you know, we say to our children, don't do that. But we forget to tell them what they should do. The Lord says, don't do that, and this is why. And this happens as you and I are dwelt by the Word of God. which is the filling of the Spirit. You speak the words of God, their spirit, their life. So you need to get God's word. You need to get God's words inside of your heart. You need to allow the moving of the Spirit to be such that it will take you through the word of God. There's nothing like being in the word. There's nothing like reading the word. The word operates through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit operates through the word. Both work together. The word is spirit and it's life for you, for me. Can I hear an amen? So I go to God's word at times with fear and trembling because there are things in my life that need to be straightened out. And the Lord doesn't spare any words. He tells you the truth. And when you spend enough time reading God's word, he will be correcting your way. And you know, you ought to be thankful that he cares enough to think about you. I mean, after all, who are you anyway? Well, I'm me. But I'm sufficiently important that God cares because he comes and speaks to me individually, personally. So you need to do that. You need to get into God's word. It will give you, again, you know, instruction. It will give you information. It will give you formation. It forms you. That the forming of your character comes through the word of God and the Spirit of God. They work together. It forms you. We have a lot of deformed Christians. They have not been formed by the word. They've been formed by who knows what. Not the word, but the world. And self and Satan. The three enemies that are always running around. And you make decisions based on what the world says. You make decisions based on what you want to do as the flesh. And Satan, right? He's right behind you. He's more active through his demons than you have even an idea. Last Sunday, I spoke about those demons that sometimes, you know, come to haunt me, which all of us have those. And I described the demons, and I felt convicted afterwards that I should have never described them the way that I did. So let me just say to you that, yeah, we have all kinds of sizes of demons that come to molest you and bother you and want to make you feel ugly. All I can tell you is that this was a very small one like that. Looked like a hairy monkey thing running around. Cast that thing out in Jesus' name. He's not been back for decades. What I'm speaking, I'm giving you word pictures here. I'm saying there are demon activity. There's demon activity in all of our lives. And we need to have the word of God that acts as that shield, right? Put on the whole armor of God. Now you're going to think I've gone nuts. No, I'm not gone nuts. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Some of us are haunted by the power of the enemy. The way to get rid of that is by being in the word, by allowing the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, to just chop that head off. But you don't spend time in church because you got to be in your pajamas. And you don't spend time in the word because you got to watch Dragnet. See? And you have time to do everything you need to do except being in the word. And then you wonder why sometimes you find yourself at the edge, you know, of your life. And that's because you have not done your homework. And the enemy pushes you and pushes you and pushes you. And it kind of makes you think like you don't need to do this. And you're okay. You're fine. You look, you know, and there's a little voice inside of you, which is the voice of the carnal you, the you, that says, don't worry about it. It's okay. And the Spirit of the Lord says, don't worry about it. No. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and we move on. Boy, the devil can quote scripture too. So does the carnal man. There's a time in your life and in my life where we have to understand that the word of Christ, the word of God, has to dwell with us richly. Not in an unmeaningful way. Not in a skimpy way, not in a sprinkle way, but richly. Will you say it with me? Richly. It's only going to take place when you give the time that you need to give. When you make that a value in your life. Speaking earlier today with Sister Rebecca about the prayer meeting, I told her, I said, I kind of felt bad. I said, because we said no more because people are not showing up. And then through the week, I have been praying at that because I don't make decisions that rashly or so quickly. I really don't. But this time I did. And I said, the reason we're going to pray is not so much because you're going to show up, but because the Lord shows up. But it's tough, It's tough. It's tough. These are days that are evil, and they're harsh, and they're difficult. And it's just plain dirty. The devil plays dirty. So does the world, and so does the flesh. And you and I got to fight this. You got to fight that. You fight it by being in the Word, by reading the Word. Just reading the Word. Allowing the Word of God to come. Because, see, the Scripture speaks about the renewing of your mind, the way you think through things. Again, your values come from where? How do you make decisions? What triggers your decisions? Is it the Word of God? Or is it your selfish ambitions that you somehow, some way, dress up as being okay? So you got to get into the Word of the Lord. Allow the teaching of the Word that gives you positive truth. You need to be admonished by the Word that corrects your lifestyle. And then you are formed into the image of Christ. But listen, it gives you information. It gives you formation. But it also gives you something else that I want you to understand that I believe 100%. It gives you emotion. If the soul could be understood as being intellect, emotion, and will, let me tell you something. When you go to God's Word, it's going to thrill you. It's going to cause you to be thrilled. It's going to cause a happiness that you will be able to understand and express in ways in which the church has always done so. And it tells us in Scripture, it generates psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with thankfulness in your heart. There is this buoyancy, this joy inside of you that you can't keep it inside. Because all of a sudden, you have met your Maker. You have met the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And He's speaking to you. He's addressing your life, your needs, your complexity. And He's bringing about solutions. He's bringing about ways in which you can live life victoriously. I'm telling you, if you don't do this, you're going to have a miserable Christian experience. And then when you get to heaven, you're going to kick yourself. Because you went through so much misery that you need not have to. And not only is yourself, but you're going to find out how you have slowed down the blessing of God in other people's lives because you were not in that place where God could use you as He could have used you. So, Psalms, in the Old Testament, they were put to music. You know that already. And in the Old Testament, Psalms, it's a beautiful, beautiful. You should actually take the book of Psalms and do that. To worship God and to go into the presence of the Lord, to do your spiritual reading, the engrafting, the Word of God inside of your heart. You ought to go to the book of Psalms. Start with the first Psalm and read it once. And then after you read it, make music. Find the tune and sing it. Thank God we don't have to hear it. But there's something about the soul expressing itself in song, in emotion, which is very healthy. And it's needed. You need to sing unto the Lord. It is an expression that comes from the depths of your heart. You can be monotone. It's not a question of how you sound, but it's a question of the heart with gratitude. And God will listen to it. He's got special filters. When you sing kind of austere, He just doesn't care about that. But you got to have psalms in your heart. Psalms of gratitude. Psalms of conflict too. Most of the Psalms are conflictive, unresolved issues. But you need to come into his presence and sing to him. Talk to him with singing. And it says, well, Psalms, you know, I go to the Psalms and make up music for it. One of the reasons this microphone here is live now, but I don't know who gave the command, but the moment that we go into singing, this microphone dies. I think it's a very wise thing, because you would hear me singing and your inspiration is gone. I just don't know how to sing. I wonder how Jennifer and Jeffrey got all that talent. Anyway, Wilma, she used to sing very well. As a matter of fact, she used to sing in a big, huge national choir in Costa Rica. She sang there. Anyway, long story. All I can tell you is that you and I need to learn how to sing in his presence. It also tells us to express our praise to God. So we sing to him. We put into music the Psalms. We talk to him with hymns. And the hymns are wonderful because it's looking at what God has done in your life and putting it into music. You never thought of doing that, did you? Oh, you should. In the car when you're driving and nobody hears you, make it up. Let the joy of the Lord bubble. Let the joy of the Lord move inside of your heart. Let there be that joy. It's a personal thing. Of course it's a personal thing between you and God. But it's got to happen. And we'd rather you keep it between you and the Lord. But there needs to be this bubbling, this word of God that dwells in your heart that is expressed in singing, an expression of the soul. I don't know how to sing. Yes, you do. Because it's gratitude. It's gratitude. And then it says spiritual songs. Those are the choruses. You know, I need to conclude with Revelation 5. And verse 9 and 10. And then I will stop here. And it says 5, 9, and 10. And they sang a new song. Verse 9. They sang a new song. No one had ever sang that song before. You should have a new song every day before the Lord. It should be a happy moment in the presence of God. And they sang a new song. And they sang, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men from God, for God, for whom every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve God." Can you imagine that song? "And they will reign on the earth." Ha! A new song, brand new song. No one has sang that song until it was written here, and this is projected to the future. What is your new song? So you come to church and you serve the Lord, and you have God's peace rule your heart. That's the ruling, the empire. It says things are going to be fine because the Lord is on board this ship. No ship where Jesus has been there has ever sank. You're not going to sink. You're going to be okay. The Lord rebukes the tempest, rebukes the winds and the sea, and they obey him. Oh, men of little faith, people of little faith, Jesus can calm the storm in your life and does. Let the peace of Christ rule your life. Then secondly, it happens as you are filled with God's word, which is also being filled with God's spirit. It's a manifestation of the spirit separate to that, but I want to make it very clear to you that if you're going to be filled with the spirit, you're going to be filled with his word. And that is accessible to all of us at any given moment. All we need to do is open the pages of scripture and let the Lord work in our heart. And then as you read the scriptures, it will teach you. It will instruct you. It will inform your life. Go to the right or go to the left? Yes, it will. I already told you, last week about Jack's experience in the plane. As he was traveling from the Alaska area, it was Alaska, going somewhere to Seattle, somewhere down in the coast, east coast, west coast, northwest, how the Lord spoke to him as he was speaking to this other guy who was a super engineer, whatever. And the Lord says to him, I want you to speak to him in tongues. And, you know, how many of you are thankful God has not asked you to do that? Because I've said to the Lord, when he was telling that story, I said, Lord, I think I probably will stop believing right there at that moment. And I would be confused as to whether it's my voice or your voice. But he was obedient, and he spoke to this man in a tongue that, in an unknown tongue. And this man says, oh, it's just pretty good. Good, you know, almost no accent at all. And it was one of those languages that pervaded in a place where the Eskimos or whatever, those people up there understood, a dialect. Listen, we're dealing with God's Holy Spirit. This is no fun. This is no tricks. This is not Disneyland. With all due respect, this is God's church, God's people, God's Spirit sovereignly working and moving seriously in our lives so that his name will be upheld and high. And you and I are God's people, and we've been called to come and assemble. We've been called to be part of the people of God, so that we can worship him and bring glory and honor to his name. And he will prove to you and to me his blessedness, his love, his care, and oh, he is powerful in battle. You know, it's a battle coming on. You think we've seen something in the past? Get ready. But we get ready by being filled with the word, walking in the Spirit, and taking instructions from the Lord. For the Lord to correct us, to instruct us, and to sing new songs of victory in our lives. Well, a couple of you were yawning, so I think it's time for me. Let's stand together, shall we? Lord Jesus, we can only come to you and say, work in our midst. We can only come to you and open our hearts, wanting for your blessedness to surprise us, Lord. Surprise us, Lord, with your peace, where there's war. Surprise us, Lord, with your word, where there is correction. Surprise us with your word, where there is instruction. Give us a new song in our hearts and lips, that we may be your church, the church of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Everybody, put your hands together as we dismiss our service.
Lord, I lift yes. the name on high.
That's our theme song, our theme for life.
Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen, everybody. All right, listen. The mystery guest who was not here has shown up. Yeah. There she is. Pat's way back over there. Welcome back, Pat. Good to see you. Don't take off for so many months. We thought the rapture came and we all stayed behind and you went, it's good to see you. It's good to be in God's house. It's good to see you. This is the day that the Lord has made. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You're dismissed.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you'd like to see the full service with the worship time included, you can go to our Facebook page by clicking on the link below. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.